Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And if you're listening to this program live, just to let you know, that's not your system that is so staticky and scratchy. Looks like we've got another issue with Blog Talk Radio, so I'm going to try to give it a little bit of time to clear up, but if it doesn't, what we want to talk about is very important, and I don't want to just put it out there where no one can listen to it because it's so so scratchy. So I've got the chat room open. If it's as scratchy to you as it is to me, let me know, and what I'll be doing then is just rescheduling this program. Because, again, I don't want it to go out if, take the time to go over, we're going to be talking about forgiving God. And this is not something I would want to have as staticky as has been in the past. This is completely out of our control, and so there's not much we can do about it except reschedule. So if you've got if you're having difficulty hearing it, we'll just go, like I said, we're just going to go ahead and reschedule. So what we have been talking about is, like I said, forgiving God. And we've been talking about our concept of forgiving God. And the whole notion of what forgiveness is, and we almost use forgiveness as a tool against one another. And it's not just forgiveness that we're doing that with. We're kind of using God against one another. That, you know, if we're wanting to get sort of back at someone, we can not forgive them. And that way, I think we think that somehow God is going to have an issue with them. But hopefully now you've got a better idea, a better understanding of what the essence of forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It is not excusing. And forgiveness in the Old Testament is different than forgiveness in the New Testament. Forgiveness in the New Testament is a character, our nature, our identity. It's how we live because it's part of who we are. Forgiveness in the Old Testament was meeting a set of requirements. And if those requirements were met, you were forgiven. And even if you went to someone else to ask for forgiveness, then there's no hindrance. If they don't forgive you and there's something amiss, then you can take that to the priests, the city elders, whoever else is involved, and say, look, I tried to get this rectified, and they're still holding it against me, and because of that, they're not, being a good neighbor. So we don't want to correlate forgiveness now with forgiveness then. And we do that with a lot of things. That's one of the reasons we try not to use, or at least try to clarify, our phrases, our terminology. So forgiveness is basically releasing someone from having caused us pain or done something hurtful or stolen from us. And that's generally, you know, if you don't care about something and someone steals something from you, steals it from you, yeah, they did something wrong, but there's not that tie to it. There's not that attachment. You're not going to hold it against them, even though you may now go, I know what their character is. But if you care about something and it's hurt or stolen or damaged, and it's something you care about or that's important to you or matters in your life, you're going to chalk that up to that person as a debt. One thing to remember when we talk about justice, the whole concept of justice is not about guilt and punishment. The concept of justice is making things right again. If you hurt someone, making them whole. We look at the story of the Good Samaritan, and the culture, and this is still true in many cultures, if someone is hurt, whoever tries to help them, in essence, is admitting that they caused the hurt. And if they cause the hurt, they are responsible for making it right. So when the Samaritan helped the person who had been robbed, he was claiming responsibility for, in that culture, for that robbery, and made things right, made him whole. But that's why no one else would touch him, because that would have been admitting that they were responsible for his injuries. Now, in our Western civilization, what that would look like is that, say, someone stole from someone else. Well, they would have to make it right. They would have to not only return everything that was stolen, but they would have to pay for any inconvenience to make it right. And we just don't do that. And I'm wondering if maybe that's part of the problem. But the whole concept of justice in other cultures, one of my favorites is that if someone in this particular culture, if someone kills another person, they have to take the place of that person in the life. That's their concept of justice. So that, say, you were a young man who was married and had a child, and you killed your neighbor who was also married and had a child, you would have to take the place, fill the gap that you left in that widow's and fatherless child's life. And you would not only have to take care of your own wife and child, you'd have to take care of the wife and child of the man you killed. in another culture, if you killed someone, you actually had to live with the person you killed for a year. They would actually tie that body onto you, and you'd have to actually wear it for a year. There weren't many murders in that culture because the consequences were so great. But the concept of justice is to make the situation whole. Now, you and I know that sending someone to prison for something, doing something wrong, doesn't make the victim's family or the victim whole. It may give them a sense of closure, or that it was recognized who did something wrong and that their loved one was a victim, but it doesn't make them whole. It doesn't make their life, return their life back to what it was before. So when we're talking about justice, justice and forgiveness are two totally separate different contexts. Forgiveness is not about justice. We talked in the previous weeks about that forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not allowing someone to continue bad behavior. If you're in a marriage relationship and you're being abused, you can forgive your spouse who's doing the abusing, but still call the police on them. And you are obligated to do that. Their behavior is not excused. But you forgive them because you are a forgiving person. In other words, you don't hold it against them. So you, emotionally and from God's perspective, so you can objectively look at their behavior. And if their behavior requires intervention, you arrange for that intervention. So many times we've muddied up our system of holding one another accountable because we're Christians. You know, you can't do that. Don't take a brother to court. Okay? But that is an acceptable last resort if you've tried other methods. That is something if courts are for the natural realm. If someone's stolen from you, that's a natural challenge. That's a natural behavior. The laws that apply to that are natural laws and belong in the natural court. And that, for instance, what would that look like? Spirit, soul, and body in those three realms. In the natural realm, say your neighbor, you know, came over and you guys had a fight and he came over and smashed the window of your car. Now, let's say you're even both Christians. So in the natural, okay, he's destroyed your property. You call the police and you file a report and that will go as it goes. In the solical, okay, in your solical relationship with your neighbor, who is also a Christian, you have damaged that trust. And it is, there's a responsibility there to recreate and remake, redeserve that trust, rebuild that trust in whatever relationship was there as neighbors and perhaps as friends. In other words, you work that through. You don't just say, oh, well, because he's a Christian, I'm not going to call the police, or because he's a Christian, I'm just going to let him continue his bad behavior. It's spiritually, as a spirit being, you realize that your problems with him are not related to God. Because you have already forgiven him, and you know that spiritually he regrets what he's done. So spiritually, you leave God out of it. But objectively, you look at the situation, you look at what he's done, and in those other areas, you take appropriate action for your benefit and for his. We don't do anyone any favors by letting people get away with bad behavior. So we come back to forgiving God. Why in the world would we need to forgive God? Does God ever do bad behavior? Well, let's define bad. Okay? God doesn't do anything wrong. He never makes a mistake. He never sets out to hurt us. We can trust him with who we are. We can trust him with our welfare, our past, present, and future. We can trust him with everything we are. We can be ourselves with him. But in the process of achieving the best for us, there are times when God arranges the circumstances in our lives that those circumstances line up where we get hurt, where the decisions we make, we bear consequences, and we recognize that those options were from God, but the result causes us pain in a variety of ways. God lets us, for instance, make bad decisions in order to teach us how to depend on him. And sometimes we hold God responsible for the decisions we've made. Sometimes it doesn't make sense why we are mad at God. Or we can see objectively, well, it wasn't his fault. This was a decision I made out of the flesh. But he could have stopped me. But that's not the way God looks at it. He looks at it, this is a part of my plan for you. And I'm sorry it caused you pain. But you and I, being where we are, all we see, all we feel is the pain. And as we start to believe more and more and understand and really get a handle on everything coming from God, we say, how can God allow this kind of pain in our lives? How can God allow us to make mistakes? How can God allow Christians to suffer bad consequences from the actions of others? There are times that in the natural we truly are victims of even natural disasters. How can God allow earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, trees falling? God understands what he's doing, and in your spirit you have already agreed with him. But what's important is that we understand that even though God didn't intend and purposely go, okay, I'm going to cause them pain, that is a part of the process. And our response is to recognize and let God off the hook for causing that pain. one of the things we want to make sure we don't do is blame someone else. God didn't create your flesh, and yet he did. God didn't allow the devil to do what he's doing in your life, and yet he purposed it. He certainly did. So, and likewise the world system. He's not the world system, but he is. He created it. So we can pick how we're going to approach how God moves in our lives. If we are a spirit being, we are going to agree with him as we live as our identity as a spirit being. We see that everything that's happening in our lives and has happened and will happen, we agree with God that it is all from him. If we are unable to see ourselves as a spirit being for whatever reason, that's when we start seeing, well, okay, that wasn't God, that was the devil. Or that wasn't God, or that was this culture I live in. Or that wasn't God, that was, you know, my flesh. Or somebody else's flesh. Or there's evil in the world. And learning to be objective about our situation helps us to more and more depend on God to see our circumstances from the perspective of being a spirit being. You have agreed to everything that has gone on in your life. Every good thing, every bad thing, every hurt, every victory. You have agreed with God that this is what you need. To get there, we need to recognize the barrier that pain and difficulty and distrust and anger, that these build up that wall between us and God and makes it often so difficult to accept his love for us. How can God love us when he allowed this to happen? When he allowed a drunk driver to kill my child? How can God love me? How can I accept his love when he gave me cancer? And we don't make excuses for it. We go, okay, this is a way for me to learn to depend on God. This is the only way, and this is something I've already agreed to. So we learn to forgive God, to release him from his obligations to our soul. We often think that if we could just understand how something happened, why God allowed it, that it would remove the pain. And if you haven't already come to the end of that, let me just tell you now, it's not true. Understanding why God does something, accepting it, doesn't make the pain go away. We can prolong that pain by refusing to let God off the hook, by holding him responsible and accountable and saying, God, you have to make this right, or you did this to me, I'm going to, you know, as payback, I'm just going to turn my back on you. He doesn't care. That's all. He knew you were going to do that, and you knew you were going to do that, and you agreed to it. So it's all part of his purpose. You can't run from his plans. He's not going to let you get away from his love for you. You may think that that's, oh, some brilliant idea, some brilliant plan. Yeah, that really pays him back. But that's exactly what he knew was going to happen. And it brings you one step closer to being able to accept his love. because that's what this is all about, is being able to receive unconditionally what he gives unconditionally. Now, for most of us, we've not seen this acted out. We go to scriptures, we go to illustrations, we go to our culture to look for ways to deal with issues between Christians, we categorize everyone and we try to evaluate how bad a hurt is, and we look at, okay, how do I handle this? How do I, what am I obligated to do? Rather than going to God, okay, God, I'm really mad at you about this. How do I deal with this? So for our purposes, when we say we forgive God, it's not for a mistake he made that caused us something, that hurt us or caused us loss. We forgive God because something he did that we've agreed to caused us pain. Any kind of pain, mental, physical, any kind. So that's what we forgive him for. So next week we're going to go through a step-by-step process. But for right now, what I want you to do is just take some time between now and then. Give you a little homework. And just ask the Lord to bring to the surface any area where you are holding him at arm's length. Now, it may be that you don't know why you're holding him at arm's length. And it's basically about trust, an area where you may not trust him, you may not like him, you may not want to be vulnerable to him, you really don't want to allow him free rein in your life. Well, let's find out why. Because there's an area you need to forgive him. Because either something he did or something you believe about him or something you believe that he did is interfering with your relationship with him. So let's bring that to the surface. And we're going to go through next week how to deal with that. But for now, just get a piece of paper out. Take this seriously. Nobody else has to know. This is just between you and God. And just, Lord, where are there any areas where I need to forgive you, where I need to let you off the hook, where I am holding you responsible? And by doing that, I am keeping up those roadblocks, those obstacles, I'm keeping you on the other side of my comfort zone. In any area where, again, you don't need to identify the specific incidents. There just might be, oh, I don't want to talk to him about this. I don't want to even go there with him. It's because there's been a breach of trust. So any area where there's pain or disappointment, write it down. And we'll take it to the Lord and find out how to release that back to him to restore or, you know, to create a new relationship in that area. So we'll move from there. Next Tuesday. We'll be meeting again next Thursday, 7:30. Until then, have a great week. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.